A few weeks ago, I checked off a new experience, something I'd never done before, and I'd recommend it to everybody. I went to Orchestra Hall on a Sunday afternoon, and I watched a movie. It was a great experience because the Minnesota Orchestra was playing along with the movie. They were playing the soundtrack. So it was an amazing experience. I think everyone should watch a movie like this at least once in your life to hear a live orchestra playing along with the screen that you're watching. And the movie that I watched, it was actually one of my favorites. I went with a priest friend and I. We planned this months ago. As soon as tickets went on sale, we went that day and purchased tickets because it's one of our favorite movies. It's the 1987 instant classic, The Princess Bride. Rob Reiner's classic movie. You know the characters, Princess Buttercup and Wesley. It's a movie of, I don't know, it's like against all odds, huh? Love wins against all odds. You have great characters, great storyline, and the conductor of the Minnesota Orchestra, she did something I thought really helpful. At the beginning of the movie, she said, "We want you to cheer and laugh and boo and quote the movie along and enjoy the whole show." And so we kind of had that permission. Okay, I don't have to just sit there quiet. I can actually be part of the movie. And so people were saying the iconic lines and laughing and booing and cheering and all the things. And it was such a fun experience. Of course, you got one of the iconic characters in the movie, Vicini. He's this Sicilian, and he's got some great one-liners, the least not being inconceivable, right? That's just kind of ingrained into our minds if you've seen the movie. Things keep happening that he didn't think could happen. Inconceivable. And then something else happens that he didn't think could happen. Inconceivable. He keeps just saying that over and over again. And then, of course, Andre the Giant, he's one of the characters. He eventually says, "I don't think that means what you think it means." All these things keep happening that Vicini thinks are inconceivable, but they happen. So maybe he needs to evaluate how he uses that word. But I love this story, and I love even that line from Vicini, because I think it does speak to something of the human heart and something of our faith, that we who are people of faith, we experience things all the time that to the rest of the world are inconceivable. But we have known by faith that with God all things are possible. We think of the things, the tenets of our faith that we just say over and over again in the creed, or the things that we celebrate in our faith, and they're really wild things. And it's always good, I think, to pause and recognize with wonder and awe how God does incredible, inconceivable things with very little means. Even how he creates the world and all that exists out of nothing. That's inconceivable to a person without faith. But we who have been given that gift of faith, we might take it for granted. And we read and hear about these things all the time, especially in the sacred scriptures. And I want to highlight especially the book of the prophet Isaiah today. Isaiah and his book of prophecy is an Old Testament book. It's one that was written probably some 700 or 600 years before Jesus was born. He's one of these Old Testament figures, these prophets. But the things that he writes about are incredible. They're inconceivable. And I'm sure the Jewish people for hundreds of years, when they read these things, they wondered, how will these things ever happen? How will these things be fulfilled? things that we might take for granted. Here's just a few of the taglines from Isaiah's book, that there's a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and that he speaks of this messianic figure, this Savior, who will be a light to the nations. He'll bring good news to the poor. This person will be the Prince of Peace. And then he even speaks kind of darkly about this figure's fate. He speaks of this man that he would be a man of sorrows, like a lamb led to the slaughter, despised and rejected, that he would take our infirmities upon himself. He'd be pierced for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. All those prophecies came some 700 or 600 years before Jesus. And it's wondrous. It's inconceivable that Jesus would be able to fulfill all of these things predicted. I think it's for this reason that Isaiah, by some of the earliest Christians, the church fathers, was called the fifth gospel. He was the fifth evangelist. We know the four gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the early church fathers, they saw Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet, as the fifth gospel. St. Jerome actually said, Isaiah sounds more like an evangelist than he does a prophet. It's like he was given the playbook some 600 years before Jesus. And then he writes about these incredible, inconceivable things that one day will happen. And then lo and behold, Jesus fulfills them all. The least of not being the prophecy we have today in this week before Christmas, this fourth Sunday of Advent, Isaiah's prophecy that, lo, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. Just take that line and marvel at it. Babies don't come from virgins. How could a virgin give birth to a son and that we would name him God with us? This is something I think we Christians take for granted. We hear it in our readings on a Sunday and we think, yep, that happened. Isn't that awesome? But we forget to marvel at the way that God works, the way that God shows up in inconceivable places, and true life and true love are conceived. It happens over and over again, all throughout our history, all throughout our stories. And even think of the place where the Savior is born, the Savior, the Christ child, who comes into the womb of a virgin in a particular place and a particular time and into a particular family. We keep hearing in our readings today about this house, the house of David, that Isaiah prophesied. It's in the house of David that this child will be born to a virgin. And then St. Paul in the New Testament, he speaks about Jesus, the Son, descended from David. And then Matthew in his gospel, the angel Gabriel comes to Joseph in a dream and he calls him Joseph, son of David. This place, this house, David, it's an unlikely place. Now, we might think of David as the great king, and yeah, he was. But you might remember where his story began. Not a very great figure here against Goliath. That's where we first hear about David. He's this ruddy figure. He's this youth who takes down a giant. He's an unlikely character who becomes king. Even David, he's not perfect. He creates grave sin. He commits great things that needed to be repented of. But then he works, and God actually calls him a man after his own heart. I think that's a beautiful image of who David was. Even his name, it means beloved. And so where would the Savior be born? He'd be born to this one, to this family who was after God's own heart. He comes to those who call him beloved. This is the house where Jesus is born. And even think of the location, Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the city of David. It's where he resided. And Bethlehem in the prophet Micah is called the least, the littlest in the house of Judah. Judah, a great tribe. But Bethlehem, it's the least. And so this is the place where the Savior is born. This is the place where a son comes to us, where a child is conceived in the womb of a virgin. And I think this is something to actually marvel at, to wonder, because Jesus wants to be born in the same places in our lives, in the places where we've counted him out, in the places of greatest darkness or despair, in the places where we've had doubt. That's exactly the place where the Savior wants to be born. He wants to be conceived in those inconceivable places. And so we've got a whole week to go as we marvel and ponder these mysteries. So brothers and sisters, let's welcome Jesus there. Let's welcome him. He calls us beloved, and he invites us to conceive divine life even in those places of greatest despair and doubt.